a shout of praise. Blessed be your name. I decree that your light that is shining, no devil shall dim it or quench it. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord the praise and take your seat. The lepers at the gate of Samaria said, "This day is the day of good tidings, and we do not well if we hold our peace." Somebody was telling us the other day, I think the pastor is still here. He came all the way from, which country are you from? Ireland. Only for somebody in town here to say, "I'm not even aware of what is going on there." He was the one introducing the glory dome and the things God is doing to a person living in the town. "We do not well if we hold our peace." Let the people know that 2 Kings 7:9. Let them know the presence of God that is feelable. Presence of God that is tangible. The word of God that is strong and solid. And the power of God that is unadulterated. That power. Let them know. Not for the sake of any bragging or anything, but just to ensure that the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. To ensure that we drag the multitudes of souls with us to heaven. And I believe as you do what you should do, and I do, despite the fact that there are hundreds of dynamic churches within the city and around, the glory dome can be overrun 5 times every Sunday like we did before, even though it was a smaller facility. I believe that the Lord will help us as we move out into outreach and reach out to the lost. We will have the clip of the summary of the Sunday services ready. We have last Sunday's clip ready. We have the other Sunday, and we'll have this ready. So you can share on your WhatsApp groups and share, and just let the people know this is the recap of what happened last Sunday. And we shall be experiencing God like never before. Somebody say aloud, amen. So publish and publicize the news. I was going to terminate the 5 hours today, but our team reminded me that next Sunday is a blessing Sunday, where we normally gather together. So we'll just do that for the blessing Sunday. And then after that, I will announce to you whether it is going to be once a month or how regular it will be. But we'll have that for the blessing Sunday, next Sunday. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. Very, very quickly, pitfalls of high destiny. Pitfalls of high destiny. And as by the time I speak on these, we'll be able to identify where mercy comes in here. We began this study by looking at the fact that God's plan for his people is the high place. By way of an objective, we are unraveling factors that make people crash from the high places of life. Factors that can make people to crash, especially God's people. We saw earlier on in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. And then in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill that cannot be hid. The high place is our place. But there are pitfalls to watch for. At the high place. Generally, things are stable on the floor. But demands more carefulness from heights. The man whose testimony we just saw now, if they said he fell on the ground, there could be problem, but it's a little compared to if he fell from the first floor and then the second floor. Now we are talking of the third floor. Things are a bit more stable on the ground, but more carefulness is needed when you are dealing with heights. As God takes us up to heights, which is what he has in mind for us, for the sake of, we saw already the purpose of high destiny, how God wants to take over the earth for himself as he takes us to heights. More carefulness is needed. We want to look at this, start with the story of King Uzziah. One of the saddest stories in scripture. And if you permit me, I'm almost going to read almost the whole thing. So you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 25, 26, from verse 1, the whole story. Is it possible for you to read along with me? Is it possible? Please, let's read in the chorus. Let's go. One, two, go. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. Keep going. He built Eloth, restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his father. This was a 16-year-old boy that God favored to make a king. And immediately he began to make impact. Construction, infrastructure. Let's go. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought God, God made him to prosper. It is one thing to begin well, but the most important thing is to continue well and end well. This man, without a doubt, began well. Continued a bit well. He sought God, but he didn't end well. Let's keep going. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath. He was a warrior. We are reading together. Let's go. And the wall of Jabneh. Keep going. Verse 7. Oh Lord. Somebody say, God help him. Somebody say, God help me, Lord. Say, please help me, Lord. All right, let's go. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad, even to the entering of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. His fame spread. God gave him a name. He was popular. Let's go. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Powerful impact. Let's go. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Wow. Let's go. Moreover, Uzziah had that went to war by bands, according to the number of the account, by the hand of Jael, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler. Keep reading. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000, and 7,500. That is 307,500 military might. That made with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Verse 14. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings. So his army didn't lack equipment. Now let's go. This is the peak of it. Everybody read with a loud voice. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows. This is the beginning. Wait a minute. This is the beginning of modern day armored personnel carrier. Armored tanks that shoot weapons and missiles out of themselves. Uzziah was the first person to invent it. The Bible talks, he said, invented. It was an invention to shoot arrows. Now, let's read it again. One to go. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped. Who helped him? He was marvelously helped till he was strong. Now look at when the story went down. Verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Have mercy, Lord. When he went to the peak and saw that everything was working in his favor, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. The next line will break your heart. Go ahead. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar. He was not a priest. Keep going. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him first God. That is 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. We are reading together. Let's go. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not to you, Uzziah, to burn incense on the Lord. But the priest is the duty of the sons of Aaron that are consecrated to go to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast transgressed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Look at verse 19. Then Uzziah was angry with them and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, leprosy rose up on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests look upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they pushed him out from thence. Yea, he himself hurried to go out because the Lord has smitten him. When the Lord, who was your helper, becomes your hurt, it's a disaster. When the God who was assisting you becomes your resistance. And King Uzziah was a leper till the day of his death and dwelt in the house of lepers. Being a leper in several houses, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the Lord. Can you imagine a king of such honor living in a house of leprosy? The rest of the house of Uzziah, first and last, did Azariah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. And he slept with his fathers. And they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial, which belonged to the kings, for they said, he is a leper. A leper, a leper. You will not die of leprosy. Anyone that God is going to help, please learn from Uzziah. Let us look at the challenge, the pitfalls of Uzziah. Very, very quickly. And we're going to include other people there as we go along. Number one, pitfall is the arrival mentality. When he was strong, he assumed that he had arrived. The arrival mentality. Please understand that anywhere you are today, there is more from where what you have came. The path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Proverbs 4:18. Until you see Jesus face to face, your journey continues. Please never arrive. Never come to the point where you convince yourself that you have succeeded. The arrival mentality. Number two, reliance on personal strength. He relied on his personal strength. Personal strength or gift. The Bible said he strengthened himself. Then he was strong. He relied on personal strength. The time comes when people begin to rely on their strength, on their resources, on their giftings, on things they can achieve outside of God. Number three, forgetting the source of help. He forgot the source of his help. He was helped. He was marvelously helped. That is what scripture said. He was marvelously helped. Some people come to the point where they actually forget the source of their help. The psalmist said, I will look up to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, not from myself. Forgetting the source of his help, of one's help. Number four is the spirit of pride and arrogance. A major pitfall on the journey of life and destiny, on how far God can take a man, is the pitfall of pride and arrogance. The spirit of pride and arrogance. He was marvelously helped until he was strong. I think it was verse 16 that says, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. You don't know the character of people until you give them money, until you give them power, until you give them position. There are many, many good Christians who were Christians until they go into government office. And then you realize, is this person a Christian? Does this person know God? There are so many people you don't know who they are until you hand them power, hand them influence. Or you give them passport in Europe. That's what he's talking about now. Give them passport, even in America. Or papers. That is when you know who is who. Here am I, use me. A little anointing comes. You can't near them anymore. The man who came from Argentina could not recover from what he experienced. You know? And all the others. He said, how can a thing like this be going on? And you are this simple, this accessible. After the vigil, I went to where he was staying, took gifts of tithe. Gifts of different gifts to give to him. Gifts of cloth. He looked at me, he said,
to come to give me gift is an issue. But to come after standing through the night of ministry and you came to me, say, I don't understand. You need to pray. That kind of level, Lord, that you will take me, that will turn me into a Satan, may I not reach there? I mean, because Lucifer became Satan. He became Satan. He became proud. He became arrogant. God made him the head of the angels. It entered his head. And that crushed him from there. That position, that money, that level of money, that level of influence, that level of contact, that level of impact, that will. Oh. May it never enter your hand. We are going to go for a program somewhere. And the embassy of the place said to us that I should not bother coming for the visa. Next thing I knew, I was at home and they said to me, "Ambassador, the ambassador is waiting at the office here." What? Nobody told me. So I dashed there. And he said, I just came to, so you don't need to bother coming. Come. That didn't stop them. He said, everybody traveling with you, make them available. So what? I looked at the man. So one of our men told me, and he said, sir, we will normally go to the embassy. Or because we are going to follow you for a program, embassy came to us.
Praise God. Praise God.
I said, that is the help and the mercy of God. Amen. I appreciated the man.
Amen.
Escorted him to his car. And I looked at him and said, do everybody have to do? He said, he himself doesn't know anybody who does like that. But he decided to come. I didn't raise my shoulder. He didn't raise his shoulder. There are many people that God can't try with such a thing. Little position, little influence. I was talking to her in the conference. I said, till today, we are still going to villages, rural villages, to preach. I have gone for crusades this year where there is no warm water to bath with at the location. I've gone for crusades this year where the hotel we stayed, I use my phone touchlight. Phone light to look at my note to prepare message for the crusade. But I can fly anywhere in the world, anytime, by any means I want. By God's grace. I can fly anywhere in the world, anytime, by any means that I want per time. Until Jesus come, going to village where there is no light is a constant. Or where you are not sure of the water to drink. I hear what I'm saying here today. I am trusting the Lord that God will bring us to places where God can be secure. God can be convinced that I won't, lifting this man, I will not lose him. Lucifer was lost. He is not recoverable. No blood sacrifice can redeem him. There are many people God says, I prefer that you make heaven than to give you a position on earth that will take you to hell. or than to give you the kind of money that will turn you into a beast, or that than to give you the kind of influence. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. The spirit of pride and arrogance. That was what happened to Queen Vashti. In the book of Esther chapter 1 and in verse 9, King Ahasuerus did a feast. Queen Esther also made a feast for the women in the house. She was in competition with her husband. In verse 10 to verse 11, the king asked that they bring Vashti. And in verse 12, Vashti refused, "I am not coming. I am too beautiful. You can't talk to me anyhow." That cost her her throne. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 17, Samuel was speaking to Saul. He said, "When you were little in your eye, in your sight, were you not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel?" That is Saul. There was a time you were little in your own eyes. But now it appears like you have become big. And now that you have become big, God has released you. God has replaced you. May we ever, no matter what God does with us, may we forever remain small in our eyes. May we never lose humility. May we never lose simplicity. May we never lose authenticity. In the name of Jesus Christ, the spirit of pride and arrogance. Number 5, elevating oneself onto a different calling. And in this case, in bracket, priesthood calling. That was what Uzziah did. He elevated himself to a calling that was not his calling. Elevating oneself to a different calling, or arrogating, whichever way you want to put it, arrogating to yourself a calling. That's okay. The title is okay. Now, part of that is arrogating to yourself a call that is not your own. In this case, this man was a king, and he decided that he must be a priest. In my journey of life, I've seen a lot of some big men, some who made some money, and all of a sudden they must start a church or start a fellowship. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? I've seen that on my journey. It's a struggle. Some even start a church and hire a pastor. I saw that even before I became a medical, I became a pastor. I saw a man, rich man, he's influential. He's opened the church, hired a pastor. He is the owner of the church. There are some who feel the need that they must own a fellowship. I'm a millionaire, a billionaire, this and that, but I own a fellowship. He walks in like an ogre and gives instruction. He doesn't sit down to listen to any message. He's the owner. I'm talking to you from experience. He can invite guest ministers, but he doesn't sit down. Am I communicating? Everybody should face their call. Every calling in God is a high calling. Whether your call is unto full-time businessman or woman, or the political leadership office, or whatever it is that God called you, it's a high calling. I have seen businessmen, successful businessmen, wealthy businessmen mess up their lives by branching into politics. Just messed up themselves, right? All of a sudden, they just stepped into politics. this guy has money before. He stepped into politics because he thinks that politics is where to be. They rubbish and rope him into corrupt matters and so on. At the end of the day, the money, the millions and billions he had before begin to disappear. And at the end, when he goes in and out, the conclusion is that all the money he has is from what he stole from government. Nobody knew that he had something before he went there. You go to civilized places like America, the millionaire remains his millionaire, he remains his billionaire. He is not struggling to branch into politics. The only one who did that is the Trump, who feels led to go and attack and confront some things. Am I communicating? It's possible that God can call you first into business and then lead you into political calling. But it's not compulsory. So whatever is your call, whatever it is, remain there. It's a pitfall of heights. Ask me to contest for any election now. It's a demotion.
Yes, sir.
A complete demotion. It doesn't matter the office. Because the prophet is senior. So he's at a higher level, a higher pedestal, even than a prophet who knows what he's doing with his life. When Jacob was brought before Pharaoh, Jacob blessed Pharaoh. In his heart, he knew he was higher than Pharaoh. Is like the king of the world there. It's like, kneel down, let me lay hands on you. I carry a patriarchal mantle. A mantle from Abraham, a mantle from Isaac, and I am Israel. And Joseph brought in Jacob his son and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. The Bible said the less is blessed of the better. So Jacob knew he was higher than Pharaoh. Even though Pharaoh had money, had influence, had land, was in charge of territories. But this man knew that he was higher than this man. When people don't know who they are, just mess themselves up and down in the name of this or that. You will not miss it. It's a pitfall that we must watch again. What, wherever God has planted you, in the business world, in the ministry line, in the political line, in the diplomatic line, whatever be your line, it's possible for two things to exist. David was a king, he was a priest, he was a prophet. So it's possible that they could mix together. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's possible that God, on occasions, can give multiple mantles to people. But it must be understood. You must understand exactly what is yours that God has given to you. So that you are not doing things because people are doing the things, or you are not doing it because you have been prophesied into it, or forced to do it. You are doing them because you know that God has called you to do it. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. Stepping out of one's calling, or elevating oneself, that's true. Elevating oneself to a different calling, that was number five. Was that number five? Okay. If that was number five, you know, when some people come to that level, they discern no need for a pastor anymore. I don't have any need for a pastor, and I cannot hear any pastor. Number six is disregard and disrespect for the oil of priesthood. Disregard and disrespect for the oil of priesthood. This was King Uzziah, who was pursuing God under the ministry of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verse 5, he was pursuing the Lord under the ministry of Zechariah. And as he pursued God, God made him to prosper. This same man now will disregard 80-something priests who came and said, you are doing the wrong thing. He disregarded them. It's one of the greatest pitfalls I am now a billionaire. When I had no billions and when I had no millions, I had a pastor who could call me and call me to order. You see the missed call of the pastor. If he called you, he will be quickened. Sir, when do you need me? When can I see you? Is there anything you want me to do? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Today you see the phone and you look at it and you see who is calling. Yes. You said, I am the one speaking. Yes, I'm aware, I know. People don't behave like that here. But they behave like that in many places. I give credit to our people. They don't behave like that here. But I'm aware of such behavior. Yes, I'm hearing you. This same man who fasted with you for 3 days. He asked you to fast. He fasted with you. You see his call. You are busy in the call. I am busy. Call later. This was before you will run out. You will run out. I've been preaching here, my Father in the Lord. I'm seeing something coming. Even though the phone is silent, I'm seeing the call. I quickly, in one way or the other, I give the phone to my wife. I say, please rush out and just answer him and let him know that I'm on the altar preaching. Do you understand what I'm talking about? May you never, the day a tree outgrows its root, a collapse is inevitable. It has become bigger than the root that originated it. Collapse. That day is collapse. When the house is bigger than its foundation, it must collapse. That was what happened to King Uzziah. All the priests meant nothing to him. All. That was his end. No matter how high God takes you, may you never devalue your priest and your prophet. May you never look down on the oil that poured on you, on the graces that God used. No matter how influential you become, never to forget where you are coming from is to forgo where you are going to. Hear that again. To forget where you are coming from is to forgo where you are going to. Is to forgo it. Disregard and disrespect for the prophetic, for the priest and the prophet. It happens all the time. I'm a rich man now. I'm a big man now. I have a lot of people. I interact with presidents and kings and rulers, and I interact with everybody. So who do you think you are? What do you think you are? Am I communicating? Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. There are people that I interacted with 40 years ago that touched my life 40 years ago. 40 years ago. 40 years ago, 41 years. They are not just in communication terms, but on a monthly salary till the day of their death. As God helps. Not one, not two, not three, not four. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some are in their old age now. If there is a standing order, I'm not even aware. The person that I have given the standing order, my accounts person that I have given their personal accounts person that I have given it runs without my knowledge, without my permission. Are you following what I'm saying? So many people. The same hand that fed them, they bite it. Can you become too big for your mother that gave birth to you? Or your father? Is that not a curse? You will never fail. If you are saying amen, say loud amen. Number 7, disregard and disrespect for the oil of priesthood. Number 7 is lack of value for godly counsel. When a person comes to a point where he cannot be advised anymore, there are times where people reach a level in life, they can't be advised anymore. Uzziah couldn't be advised anymore. He couldn't be counseled anymore. He was too big for counsel. They said, no, this is not your duty. This is not your assignment. Leave here. He said, who are you to talk to me? Who is the king of this land? Lack of value for godly counsel. That cost him his destiny. Was that number 7? Really? Can we go over it again one by one? Number 1 is what? Number 2, personal strength and resources. Number 3, forgetting the source of help. That is God in bracket. Number 4, the spirit of pride and arrogance. Number 5, elevating oneself onto a different calling, like the priesthood calling. Number 6, disregard and disrespect for the oil of priesthood. Number 7, lack of value for godly counsel. Number 8, in number 8, I'm going to bring out other people who had went to the top and dropped. Number 8 is forgetting the covenant of your God. Forgetting the covenant of your God. Forgetting the covenant of your God. Forgetting the God of your fathers. That was a case with Uzziah. He forgot the God of his father. He forgot the covenant of his God. That was a challenge with Solomon as well. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 14. 1 Kings chapter 3 and in verse 14. The Bible says, concerning God was speaking to Solomon. And if you will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Solomon did not walk as his father walked. He didn't keep the covenant of his fathers. Uzziah did not continue with the covenant of his God. Samson, you shall not drink any fermented drink and they will not cut your hair. Samson trampled it. He went up and forgot the covenant. What were the things you were doing in those days that brought result? What kind of fasting and prayer brought you out of where you were? What kind of study of the word? What kind of relationship with God? Your way in will be the way forward. Your way in. My wife, who lives with me and has known me more than anybody else, knows that my fasting and prayer schedule, if anything, is worse now than before, in terms of more intense than how it was 30 something years ago, and those kind of schedules. Your way into anything God brought you into will be your way forward. If you got in, how you got in is how you stay in and is how you keep going. Forgetting. Number 9 is very, very serious. Turning to the worship of other gods. The worship and service of other gods. This was the sad story of Solomon. Turning to the worship and the service of other gods. Now this will have a different scripture. Second, it will have 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4 to verse 10. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4 to verse 10.
For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. I'd like you to read it with me so you can be sure I read it well. Want to go? When Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods. Keep reading. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon, wait a minute. Who went after what? Did what? Went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon, who did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Keep going. Then did Solomon build a high place. He had started building temples for shrines, building shrines for idols. Built a high place for who? Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech. This one, they throw children inside the fire for this one. The abomination of the children of Ammon. Keep reading, please. And likewise did he for all which burnt incense. I'd like you to wait a minute. How many temples did Solomon build for God? One. How many wives did Solomon have? 700 wives. How many wives did he build temples for? He built altars and high places and temples for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto the gods. He built one church for God and built 700 shrines. Solomon. Solo. Does that not beat your imagination? Does that not beat your imagination? Solomon, tender Solomon. Solomon, the recipient of God's mercy. Somebody who shouldn't have near the throne at all because of the kind of relationship that gave birth to him. And God despised everything and praised you. You are now servicing altars of 700 shrines. What did God say? Read on. He did that. Verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded him. How many of you in church today have seen God face to face once? Solomon, twice. Twice. Appeared to him twice. That God that appeared to him, he built in one temple and built 700 shrines. Many of us, it is not ourselves. All his strange wives turned him. Who is your closest friend? What are they telling you? In what direction is your friend leading you, your political associate? They say, oh, me too, I they go to church. Oh. Me too, I they go to church. But you see, the Bible says, heaven helps those who help themselves. Ask him to quote where that Bible said. Which passage in the Bible? Can you show it? Luke chapter what? Micah chapter what? He said, there's somewhere they say in the Bible that heaven helps those who help themselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you have all of that. Maybe you marry a woman that you were not meant to marry against all advice, and it's now directing you away from God. Or you, one girl sent me a message a few days ago. He said, please pray. My husband is now attacking me. He doesn't want me to go to church. He's stopping me from going to church. He doesn't want me to go to church. He doesn't want me to serve God. He said, I said, where did you find him to marry him? Where did you find him?
Where did you find such a man? Even if he was coming to church and he was pretending, you can ask God to unveil him for you. Who is this man? Lord, show him to me. And don't be surprised if as I am sitting, talking now, there are people here with altars in their bedroom. Shrine. Patronage of divination. Making calls to demonic agents that family must not know. What is the use of going to church? If God is God, serve him. If Baal is Baal, serve him. You want to patronize native gods, face them squarely. You want to serve God, serve him squarely. Why prevaricating? What is this hanky-panky? Don't trample on naked wire. Some people are electrocuted and people don't know what electrocuted them. I'm not talking of physical electrocution. When you try to connect wires wrongly, electrocution is possible. You are trying to serve the devil and try to mix it with God. It could be dangerous. They say the level you are now, you need protection. Why were you not? Who protected you till this level? Do you understand what I say? They say, you have become more prominent now. You have become more influential now. You have more money now. There are a lot of eyes are upon you now. So we need to take you somewhere for protection. It's not. Some people will even tell you, you don't need to come. Just you don't need to know what we are doing. So they will convince you that you are not involved. But your money is involved, which means you are involved. And you send the money. And they did the thing they did in your name. You will not miss it. You know why I'm preaching like this? I'm trusting the Lord for nobody to miss it. Are you following what I'm saying here? Some have not gone very far. They are already getting confused as to whether they sought to serve God ruggedly or to still mix it with something. It's never worth it. It is never, ever worth it. I pray for you today, the grace of God, to serve God squarely, to serve God without missing it, that grace is released upon you. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loud most amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord and I round off now. Turning, Solomon's situation breaks the heart. Number 10, for Solomon, was the reason for number 9. Surrendering to the control of the flesh. Solomon surrendered his life to the control of his flesh. 700 wives, 300 concubines. He destroyed his life. 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 3. The wives with their children, big, big congregation. Samson surrendered himself likewise to the control of his flesh. There are those whose wives are good wives until they have money. The wife is now too old, too outdated, is not sophisticated enough. What was your level of sophistication when you married her? How did you grow in sophistication and you left her behind? Now, you want to change that one. There are people like that. You see, most people are sensible until money enters their hand. They are calm, they are cool. Children can't cite them anymore. The normal rapport, daddies. Be careful. Say, I'm sorry, sir. Children that interact No, my children and myself, if you see us at times, we are relating like age mates, but they know their limit. And they know their boundary. They also know that it's red eyes. And they don't want to see that one, that the lion type. You understand what I'm saying? This one now, roll on the ground before you know I'm your daddy. There are people, brutal people, making the wife to be crying. The children are watching. Children are crying. He doesn't care. Any child you destroy because of your wickedness, when you meet God, you will answer. Because some children don't want to marry because of how terrible the husband is or the wife. I've talked to many children. I was talking to one girl, young girl, the other day, she was in our school here. I said, so what? Do this and that because of marriage in the future. She said, no, I'm not marrying. I said, no, I won't marry. She said, why? I said, oh, no, what is marriage? Marriage is nothing. Because of the home he came from. Because of the father and the kind of setting she came out of. People don't know what they do when they behave like they are beast at home. Loveless because of little money or little influence. Destroying the dead. Bible says children are the heritage of the Lord. That is, God owns them. We are the caretakers. So what you did, how you groom your children and raise them, your influence over them, you will give account of it when you meet God. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a lot of amen. Don't surrender yourself to the cravings of the flesh. For the flesh to rule you, lead you, govern you, control your life, it makes you to crash. Judas Iscariot, money. Gehazi, money. All those are things that the flesh wants. It led them to the crash. The Lord will protect us. The Lord will protect you. The Lord will protect me. The Lord will preserve us. Let me begin to round up so that we can see how we round up. What number are we? Number 10, number 11 is the possession of no functional altar of relationship with God. No functional altar. When you come to the point like Samson, when you don't have an altar anymore, no prayer life, no study of the word, no fasting. When Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 is no more in your life, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Samson came to the point where he was running from Philistine to Philistine, from Delilah to another, from war to war, from battle to battle, and he had no time for prayer. You will never see one occasion where the Bible says, and Samson prayed. Once he prayed, when he was looking for water to drink. He said, oh Lord, I am dying of thirst. Once. The only time, the next time he prayed was when he was in prison already. They have plucked out his eyes. They have chained him. He was crying for mercy. In between those times, Lord, I worship you. You are my God. Samson, not once. Activity without intimacy is calamity. Write that down. Activity, business activity, political activity, even ministerial activity. You are such a pastor that you are so busy and there is no time to fast, no time to pray, no time to study the word for yourself. Not just word to preach to others, but your own eating. Activity without intimacy. Intimacy with God. equals calamity. Show me a person that is busy and has no time for God. No time with God. That person is a disaster headed somewhere to happen. It's calamity. That is the error. One woman asked the husband, "You are not praying as you used to pray." He said, "Oh no. The time that I prayed a lot was the time I was struggling." Uncle Peter, he said, "The time I was struggling." He said, "But now things are better." What? This the time you think things are better is the time to pray the most. Because the devil is harboring somewhere to try to see how to tackle you. That's the time to pray the most. The time when it looks like everything is normal and perfect. That is when the devil tries to steer the boat. There's always an unusual level of calmness before mighty storms. Talk to people who do studies about storms. Before daybreak, it is always darkest. And the opposite is true. Am I communicating? No. Don't do activity without intimacy. Don't be so busy. Be so busy. I had a lot of music ministers who were in the conference, this conference, some are still here, who came not to sing or minister, but to sit. They came to sit. They came down to sit and hear God and go. Some came the first day Elijah was there. Prosper, others, they came. They were not invited to minister or sing. Chioma, GUC, a couple of them, they were there. There are some others here, still seated up there. It is wisdom to know that the feeder needs to be fed. The cook also eats. You know the worst thing that can happen to you? Today, I am on this altar ministering. I didn't come to be ministered to. I only came to minister. And as soon as I finish singing, I am on my way out for another engagement. I am in 5 different altars on 5 different Sundays. But none of it did I go to hear anything. When last did somebody continue to breathe out without breathing in? And continue surviving. Many are burnt out. Many, whether word preachers or worship or whatever, the Lord has left since. But they are not aware. Activity continues. The Bible says Samson went out as at other times. He wished not that the spirit departed. The spirit left him. He was still acting. Do you understand what I'm saying? One day, Benihin told God, he said, "Lord, please don't take your spirit from me." God said, "Don't ask me not to take my spirit." He left sins. Ask me to return. He said, he now went on his face and began to cry. He said, "Don't ask me." He said, "Lord, you know the way you come, here am I, use me. Lord, please don't take your spirit." He said, No. You are praying the wrong prayer. It went sins. My presence and that climate left you since. You are not aware. Only pray for the return now. Yes, am I communicating at all? So, God begins to lift us and raise us. Then we become so active. Activity without intimacy. And then the outcome is a collapse. I have to end here because alarm clock is now crying. Finally, is that number 12 now? Number 12 is failure to learn from history. Failure to learn from history. That you be not slothful, but be followers of those who through patience inherit the promise. So Hebrews 6:12. Be followers. When you learn from those who went all the way with God, they went up, Isaac Newton, Michael Faraday, William Wilberforce in the British Parliament, and all those people, they went up, God positioned them, but they never dropped, they never collapsed. We learn from that. We learn from people in the Bible, and then we also learn from others. If Solomon had learned from his father, that his father made an error that almost wiped him out, he would not have repeated it small. But he didn't only repeat it, he multiplied it. I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about. If Solomon had learned it from his father David. Now, how do we survive from the top? How do we survive? Number one, by reliance on the mercy of God. Continuous reliance on the mercy of God. Romans chapter 9 verse 15 and to 16. You see, nobody can beat his chest and say, I'm a superman. Nothing can do me. No. He said, for he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth. I've made up my mind I can't behave like this. Nor of him that runneth. I have enough energy to do this or that. He said, but of God that showeth mercy. It's not the question of human will. Or the question of human effort. But the mercy of God. So the mercy of God will do for you even what your willpower cannot do. Am I communicating? Even what your willpower cannot do. Even what your energy, your highest energy and effort cannot do. The mercy of God will do for you. For it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. One translation said, it's not a question of human will or effort, but of God's mercy. So we rely on mercy. Your mercy, Lord. Not my will. Not that I'm strong-willed or I have willpower. Not that I have enough ability within me. I just depend on your mercy. Number two is reliance on grace. Grace makes us stand. Romans chapter 5 verse 2. He said, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have access into grace, and by grace we stand. So grace makes us not to collapse, not to crumble. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 12, the Bible said, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying, that this is the true grace of God, wherein ye stand. We stand by grace. Grace makes us to say no to things. Grace makes us to stand in the front of those things that would have crumbled us. Those things that would have collapsed us. Grace makes us to stand. It is a new day in the name of Jesus. Somebody saying amen, say louder, amen. Grace to stand is released. Mercy to stand is released. Grace to stand is released. If you believe that God will engrace you to stand and give you the mercy to stand, then stand and say louder, amen. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. How many of us desire the high place? We desire the top place. We desire the high place. God, your God and my God will take us there. The God and my God will take us there.
And what is it that takes us to the high place and to the top? Now, all right, what are the things that we should be aware of? Can we start from verse 1? And I want us to read it together. One to go. Okay, wait a minute. Louder. You say each one twice. What should we beware of? Number 1. Again. Next. Twice. Again. Forgetting the source of help, which is God. Again. Forgetting the source of one's help, which is God. 4. The spirit of pride and arrogance. Again. The spirit of pride and arrogance. And again. Number 5. Elevating oneself unto a different calling. Again. Elevating oneself unto a different calling. Number 6. Disregard and disrespect for the oil of priesthood. Again. Disregard and disrespect for the oil of priesthood. Number 7. Lack of value for godly counsel. Again. Lack of value for godly counsel. Number 8. Forgetting the covenant of our God. Forgetting the God of your fathers. Again. Forgetting the covenant of your God. Forgetting the God of your fathers. Number 9. Turning to the worship and service of other gods. Again. Turning to the worship and service of other gods. 10. Surrendering to the control of the flesh. Again. Surrendering to the control of the flesh. 11. The possession of no functional altar of relationship with God. Again. The possession of no functional altar of relationship with God. And 12. Failure to learn from history. Again. Failure. How do we avoid the pitfalls now? Of course, the first thing to do is avoid all of these things. Avoid all of these things. But in addition, 2 more things. Let's go. 1 is what? Continuous reliance on the mercy of God. Again, continuous reliance on the mercy of God. And number 2, reliance on the grace of God. Again, reliance on the grace. And then, reliance on the grace. Lift your voice now and ask for grace and mercy. There's a song like that, by your grace and mercy. Lift your hands and lift your voice. First of all, say after me, say, Father, thank you. Louder, say, Father, thank you for your word to me today. I am grateful to you, Lord, for your word in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, yeah. I want to rely
on your grace.
Help me to rely, on your grace, Lord,
in the name of Jesus.
Open your mouth and speak to God. Open your mouth and pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. All external movements should be stopped by ushers at the goodness gate and at any of these gates right now. Prayer time is not exit time. All right. Lift your voice one more time and say, Father.
Father.
I ask
for your mercy
and your grace
to do the right thing
with my life.
I
receive your mercy.
I receive your grace.
Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray right now.
Thank you. for your mercy. I ask for your grace to do the right thing. Yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus, lift up your hands everywhere you are. Nobody's assembly and everywhere around the world. Maybe one of the points touched you and you want forgiveness for your sins. You want Jesus to be Lord over your life. You want mercy from God. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, louder, I am a sinner. Louder, I need your help. Come into my life, Lord. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Jesus. No turning back. From today, forward ever, backward never. The grace to live for you, I receive it. And I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. You pray that prayer. Can I see your hand anywhere you are? You pray the prayer. Prayer of surrender to Jesus. Forgiveness for your sins. Take this song by your grace and let them come forward here. The rest of us can take your seat 1 minute. Quickly come to the front here.
By your grace and mercy, I was justified.
I'll give you the count of 10. 1.
By your grace and mercy, I was sanctified.
2.
It was not because I was so qualified.
3.
It was not because I was so deserving.
Rush to the front door, the galleries come forward. 4.
By your grace.
5. 6. Only direction is the altar.
Lord, I do not place my faith in my own right.
5.
Lord, I place.
6.
For your mercy.
10.
Oh Lord, I put my faith in your mercy.
Lord, I put my faith in your mercy,
for your mercy, for your mercy,
my
life, my
air flying in the air,
and my life
flying
throughout all eternity.
Keep on coming. You have an addiction that needs to be broken. Smoking addiction, drinking addiction, masturbation addiction, womanizing addiction, lesbian addiction, any form of addiction that needs to be broken. Quickly rush to the front here and say, I want this addiction broken. I don't want to smoke again. I don't want to gamble again. I don't want masturbation again. I don't want to live like that again. Quickly come forward here. I'll give you another count of 10. Let's go. 1.
By your grace and mercy, favor
2.
Surrounds me. By your grace.
Keep coming.
And mercy.
3. 4.
In the world of hostility, you teach about this.
5.
By your grace and mercy. By your grace and mercy, favor surround us. By your grace and mercy.
7.
In the world of hostility, you teach about this.
9. And 10.
By your grace and mercy, Lord.
By your grace,
Hallelujah. Place your hand on your chest and pray after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come before you today. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me my sins. Today, I have decided to follow you, Jesus. No turning back. From today, forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken. Grace to live for God is released upon you. In Jesus' precious name.